Hey everybody, welcome to episode 109 of Bucks UK TV. We're more than halfway through the regular season now. It's the Bucks on the road against the Texans. The battle of the 3-4 mediocrity losing teams. Gary, let's start with you. So the Texans lost to Carolina. So anything's possible, clearly.
Yeah, clearly it is. You mentioned at the end of the last episode about the pick a winner, pick a loser competitions I'm running, and quite a few people went for the Panthers to lose that game to the Texans. And of course, Panthers won. So unfortunately, they would have gone out of the competition. But I mean, everybody's money was on the Texans to win that one. But they didn't. What that implications for our game this weekend? Well, we'll find out on Sunday, won't we?
We will, David. So I mean, I'm getting buzzing about this already. The excitement's starting to build up. In fact, that's what happens when we have a long week. I've got too long to fester on it, and I start getting excited. This is where we're going to turn our season around, isn't it?
Well, this is definitely one that is winnable, and I think, like Gary said, this is a probably a toss of a coin. Two very similar teams. I think both very similar records on offense and defense. It's really who turns up on the day, I think. And yeah, if Panthers can beat them, so can we, definitely.
So let's again break the ball down, Gary. Now, so for the Texans, it's CJ Stroud under center. The Mills days seem to be over, and let's hope Case Keenum doesn't have to come out and throw for them, because you know what the Bucks are like at making backups look like Pro Bowlers. So
Absolutely.
I mean, Stroud, it seems to be quite a controlled, quite a measured offense. They don't seem to have a great deal of explosion. How do you think they're going to be able to move the ball against the Bucks?
Well, everybody moves the ball against the Bucks, don't they? Unfortunately, I mean they are very much a team of no names, but probably the key word there is team. If you've got the 11 guys out there, the man in the street won't have heard of the vast majority of them. But they obviously work together as a team. The one thing about CJ Stroud, I mean, he's thrown similar sort of numbers to Baker, with the exception of interceptions. He's only
Just
thrown
off.
one on the season so far. So what that tells me is we've got to get pressure on him.
And Stroud's, still a bit wet behind the ears, David, isn't he? He's a young player, so do you think that might count in our favour?
Not with our record against rookies. No, it's, I mean, like Gary was saying, he doesn't throw interceptions generally. He plays a percentage game, and if it's not there, it's not there. So I think it's more about worrying about our secondary covering their receivers and just not giving them anything stupid. If we cover and smother them, then you're probably less likely to take those chances that other quarterbacks probably would.
That's
And I think if we could
interesting.
just
So,
stifle them out.
I think Gary, you're saying let's bring the heat. David, you're saying let's try and make sure we keep everyone covered. I actually think that the you mentioned about no names, Gary. For me, the highlight for this team is the O-line. I'm not just saying that because Shaq Mason's there. I've moved on. I think with Tunsil, Jones, Patterson, Mason, it's in Howard. It's and they've got George Fant as well, who's not bad for depth. I think they've got a good line. That's solid. It doesn't have any obvious weaknesses, and certainly compared to the Bucks, they seem to be able to either chip with a tight end or leave five out there in pass pro and seem to pick everyone up. So there's no one coming free, which is those are no obvious mistakes. So I think I think I'm torn between your two tactical selections because I'm not sure what the right one is. If you bring the pressure and everyone's blocked, then we're going to be in trouble. But if you try and cover everyone, we know that from Gary's keen next gen Gary stats the likelihood is there's going to be someone that's more than a yard open.
I mean, what worries me is we've just not been getting to quarterbacks this year. We've just not been sacking him anywhere near as much as we have in the past. And if we were doing that against the other teams, then I'd say, yeah, go all out. But we keep mentioning JTS every show. We're just not getting to them. Shaq Barrett has made a couple of plays recently, but again, you know, we're getting nowhere near the numbers that we had previous years. And so, you know, it's very much what everybody's doing with us at the minute. We're limited running game. Everyone's just containing and smothering, isn't it?
We absolutely need Vaya back as well.
We've got to really hope that Big Vita Veer is fit for this game, because, you know, we're not getting any pressure. We're certainly not getting any pressure from the edges. Shaq is probably still coming back from the injury he had last year. We've talked about JTS and, you know, what's he doing out there. But the pressure needs to come up from the middle. And Kansi's had a couple of good games with Vita alongside him. So we're desperate to get Vita back again.
Yeah, but I think Kansi's shown that he's got that flair, but he's still, again, inexperienced, inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Not someone that I think you pencil in at this point. So let's flip it around the other side of the ball. How are the Bucks going to move the ball and how are they going to score? And obviously, easily, let's say, we have to run the ball, we have to pass the ball, but kind of what in particular, let's start with you, David, what is the change that we have to make in practice this week?
I think we actually just need to get a bit more creative. Mm. I mean, sitting in the stands and watching the game on telly, you know, us Bucks fans sitting in England or whatever, you can read the call playing. It's not difficult. And if we can read it, I'm sure everybody else can.
Is that the run up the gut?
There's no trickery. You know, there's no movement. I mean, you know, we go back, three or four games where I think there was a little one where Godwin had a pass. But there is just no creativity. We've got to get people sort of thinking a bit and get them on their bit of a back foot. And that's the frustrating thing. It is literally just run it up the gut to the edges or sit in a pocket and try and pass it. And, you know, nothing there flaring to make people think. And that's
that really annoying play that loads of teams insist on running, where there's two receivers stacked on one side, one in front of the other, and you throw it to the back one and wonder why the two cornerbacks in front of them one receiver can't block two defenders and it gets blown up for a yard loss. So, Gary, it seems like everyone's now screaming for trick plays. Is now the time?
There's always a time for a trick play. I mean, you know what I'm going to say. It's not even a trick play. Flea flicker's an established play. Let's get it in there. But to answer your question that you asked, Dave, the one thing I think that we need to do is we need to give Baker Mayfield time to throw the ball. You know, the pressure that the Bills were getting just by rushing four was ridiculous. If the Texans come with the same tactic and manage to get home, it's going to be another very long day for us. But if the line and the tight ends or whoever they put in at tight end, I mean, there's a bit of creativity. Why don't we put another offensive lineman out as a tight end, you know, to help with the blocking? We need to give Baker Mayfield time.
Well, I've been thinking, obviously, it's my question, so I have a chance to think about the answer. For me, I think tight end, I think you're onto something. I think there's no point having anyone in the backfield, because even when we go single back, we don't keep anyone in for pass protection. They're always out for a pass. So I would go Chris and Mikey out wide and three tight ends. Let Otten, Kieft and Durham. That way they'll be able to blow stuff up or bring one back in and put two tight ends out. A bit like we used to do in the old sort of Luke Stocker days, where you could have him either as a fullback or motioning out to the side. But that will buy time. Obviously, there'll be slower developing plays. The Titans aren't going to get down the field nearly as quickly as the receivers. But it feels like we're going to have higher percentage plays as a result, and a bit more time for Baker to read it. Because I think when the Baker under pressure versus the Baker not under pressure, ironically, I think he sometimes does better under pressure, so I might be undermining my own argument. But I think if we can try and get him not under pressure, I think that's probably going to be a big secret to us moving the ball. I know everyone says you've got to keep running the ball, but I just can't see the point. Why are we keeping them honest when all we're doing is setting up third and long?
And running the clock down. You know, and if we'd have had another couple of minutes at the end of the Bills game, who knows what would have happened? We might have lost by more points, but we could have won. I agree completely. You know, they keep saying run the ball to set up the pass, but, you know, it works the other way around as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can just complete, you know, you complete a 40-yard pass to Mike Evans, you know, that's 20 running plays on the basis of how we've been going this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've got four tight ends on the roster. That must be for a reason. We must think that's where our talent sits. Or, you know, it was easier to trim down the receiving core than it was the tight end core. So let's try and use them a bit more. I mean,
yeah, they're very young, though, aren't they? And still quite inexperienced. So
they are, but as someone that played tight end, albeit in brackets very badly, I kind of feel like tight end is one of the easier positions to adapt to in the NFL more quickly. You haven't got as many routes to work out. Half the time you're just in there blocking.
You're talking about undermining your own argument. I'm talking about me now. They, you know, they are an inexperienced group. But the one thing that we always forget, they've been playing football since they were about 6 or 7 years old. So it's not like they don't know what to do. It's just that they're inexperienced at the NFL level.
And we know it's faster, harder, you know, trickier. Everyone's that much. Everyone's a prime athlete. There's no one to run over. But it feels like we ought to do something. Okay, so that's kind of how we see it. How we see it panning out in terms of each side of the ball. Special teams. You know, I think we probably want more of the same, don't we? What are we going to do to stop that sort of kicking? Do we need to try and block better? Do we need to try and kick it higher? Gary, what do you think? You're the kick maestro.
I wish I was. I mean, we had the discussion a couple of weeks ago on this podcast about Kamada, you know, kicking the ball almost too far. You know, get a bit more height on it. Okay, you might lose 5 yards off the distance, but that's 5 yards nearer that the gunners, or 5 yards less the gunners have to run to get to them. So, you know, I'm all for trying the tactic of higher kicks, more hang time, and stop them dead or make them fair catch. The other thing I'll say about punting, Devin Tompkins, to me, seems to fair catch or make the decision to fair catch really early. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's not an opposition player, you know, within sort of 10 yards of him, and he's still making the signal to fair catch. Whether he's coached to do that, I don't know, but who knows?
Okay, right. So, David, you are now Todd Bowles. Channel your inner head coach. What are you going to say to these players coming out of the tunnel against the Texans to get them G'd up for this game?
This is a game that's going to define our season now. Mm. This is it. This is on this show's 2, 3, and 4 teams. Are we a good team or are we a bad team? Are we heading in the right direction? Do you want to be a Buccaneer next year? And this is your chance to show that you've got it. You know, you've had 7 games now to find your position. You've got to start delivering. And this is the perfect opportunity to do that.
I like it. Gary, you agree?
I totally agree, yes. And if I was Todd Bowles, I'd also just add, and don't forget, there's a whole group of those mad English Bucks fans who are going to meet together in London for this game. And don't let them down.
We want to get the boat out.
David.
We want to get the boat out.
Explain what Gary's going on about.
Yep, so this week is our London Game Watch event. So Bucks UK fans be heading to London to meet up and watch the game together. They're normally a raucous fun affair, particularly if the Buccaneers are winning. So we definitely want a few Jaegers coming out as we celebrate touchdowns. And of course, when we get those turnovers, hit the deck for the boat. So yeah, we just want to make it a good party night. So yeah, definitely any Bucks UK members that are in town, get yourself down to Clubhouse 5 in Leicester Square. It's going to be a good night.
Yeah, details on the forum and in the club emails. Do come along. You're more than welcome. It's good fun. We don't buy it. Everyone's very friendly. Okay, brilliant. So the final thing then, score predictions, how it's going to go down. Gary, we'll come to you first.
We've said that we think these two teams are fairly evenly matched. But this is definitely a game that we can win, definitely a game we should win. If we don't, then, you know, they're going to be, all the Boo boys are going to be clamouring for more losses so that we can draft Caleb Williams next year. Todd Bowles isn't thinking like that, I'm sure. I think it'll be close. Both teams don't score many points. Both teams don't give up many points. I'm going for a butt win, 24-20.
Nice and close. Okay. David, your prediction for the score?
Yeah, very similar to Gary. I think, you know, like we've said, all showed that it's going to be a tight two very similar teams. We've got to go for the Bucks. So I'm thinking 30-21 to the Bucks.
30-21. Okay, a bit more quick. Well, I'll see your win, David, and I'll raise you. I think this is going to be a statement game by the Bucks. I think going to the Texans is not the same intimidating environment of rocking up to Buffalo or Green Bay or any of those sorts of places. I think there's a lot of home or away game sort of sway one way or the other. I went back and looked at the highlights for the last three Texans games. They have the odd chunk play, but they don't have any consistency. They don't have any spark. Aside from interceptions, I think we can turn the ball over. I think that we'll be able to force that ball out. They seem to be the ball on the floor quite a lot in the last few games. I think there'll be a resurgence of the D. I think there'll be a resurgence of the O. In Baker, we trust, 35-14.
I hope you're right.
And if that's true, you might need to send an ambulance to Leicester Square for me. Thank you very much. So three very confident Bucks win predictions here. Let us know how you think it's going to go down, because I'm telling you, next week we'll be here saying we told you so, when that's exactly how it plays out. Gary, David, thank you very much. As ever, thank you guys for watching. If you're in the UK and you're not a member, click on our website, bucksuk.org. Make sure you sign up. But otherwise, come and join our forum. Interact with us on social media. We love bonding and chatting to all the Bucks fans all around the world. So thanks for watching. From all of us, goodbye and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.